Right, okay, Rabbi Yisai, good evening, good evening. We are up to Simon Reishain Tess tonight. We're up to say Vav, bottom line of 118. And the halacha is as follows. Nei shalo yidliku bai ba'oise Shabbos. The candle was not lit on that particular Shabbos. So it was not lit and it was not used. Again, we're talking about the chesbosis and isul tiltul. Afilu shel cheres, even if it's made out of cheres, of earthenware, the moist, and it's gone a little bit, it's not appetizing, it's a bit moist, it's a bit more elegant than disgusting. I was looking for, avoid that word.
Decayed.
Not moldy, it's not moldy, it's moist. It's like something that intrinsically you want to distance yourself from it. Unpleasant, very unpleasant.
Moist,
yeah. I just was looking for a more elegant word for that. Yeah. Okay, repellent. Yeah, good, good. So even if it's repellent and it's even if it smells, there's fuel there. That's still a strong smell from the previous oil, which is there. It's got this candle, which is really an appetizing. Pun.
Repugnant.
That's the word. Okay, good. Repugnant. I have to try to remember this one, because it comes in quite handy when you want to describe something in an elegant way. You know, you need to have the right words. And even if it's shenef masriach mutan etalto, you are allowed to carry it around. Yes, it is most. Yes, it is repugnant, and it's even if it's made out of earthenware, it wasn't used on that Shabbos. Mutan etalto, you're allowed to carry it around. The muktzamach masmius mutter. Here we go. We've got a rule which is actually discussed in greater detail in a later siman, shinches. But we've got a rule over here. If some muktzamach masmius, something which is muktzah because of its state of repugnancy. I made this one up.
Repugnance.
Okay, something which is intrinsically repugnant. And you feel, and so it's something which becomes muktzah. It's something which normally would have been muktzah, but since it's repugnant, so therefore it's not muktzah anymore. You're allowed to carry it around. So that's the rule over here. You've got this oil which smells, which contains fuel, and it's this candle is, it's just like you want to distance yourself from it. It's not particularly, so it's masiach, it has a smell to it. There's an odor, mutter letalto, you'll have to carry, because muktzah machmas mius is mutter. Yeah.
Why? Is it because there's a you're allowed to get rid of it, or it's like,
It's a good question that will be discussed in greater detail in Simon Shin Chest. Only thing I'm going to do now is to point out Mishnah Sifkot and Chav, which tells the following two points, and Sifkot and Yutes and Chav, mutter letalto, after kli shemelach toleis, although it's a kli, which normally would be categorized as klisha melach toleisim, mekol mokan alet, letzorich gufoi umekoy moi muta, it's letzorich gufoi umekoy moi muta, if you need it for its own need, or for its place, where the item is placed, muta you're allowed to carry it around, kumosh kotsu simen shin ches, muta you're allowed to move it, hoel ve'ike toras kli aleh, on the one hand, it's a kli, and therefore if something is a kli, really, it's not muktzah. The only thing is muktzah machmas, it's muktzah machmas issa. But that is removed because it's moist. It's got usage. Hey,
I'm not asking a question, I don't understand. It says,
filu
the moist.
Even if it's cheres, because it is moist. Although it's cheres, cheres would have been normally a reason that it makes it more mukta. But he was saying that since it is moist, therefore you're allowed to carry them. Is it, if it is specifically designed as that particular purpose, then the answer is yes. Or have you got any other purpose for it? One second, I'm just thinking actually loud now.
If you have a few dozen candlesticks and you've chosen to use these ones, the Shabbos, and not those ones, but the ones that you're not using aren't Mayus, they're just not being used.
Although I hear you, Kasha, but it appears from this Shulchan Aruch that yes, indeed. But I hear you, Kasha, because it is.
If you've got glass cups that you put oil in and you wash them,
It could be used for something else, yeah. So it would appear from here that it, unless it's most, it's mukta, yeah. But I haven't got a full explanation, but that's what it appeared from here. I haven't got a way to mechalak it. Yeah, but I hear what you're saying, because it's, I'm not so sure it's poshut. But that, Siv Zayin Rabbi Yisai, Menoira. If you've got a Menoira, Shabbos candles, Ben Gdoyle, Ben Kitana, whether it is large, or if it's a smaller sized one, Himishel Prokim, if it's made out of numerous pieces, it's, yeah, it's like, it's connected, it's, assemble, thank you very much. The expert indeed. Yes. Yeah, so you know how to carry it. You don't have to move it. If it's made out of various numerous parts, ein metalten noisoi, you don't have to carry it. The chashina, there's a gzeir over here. Shemotipoil, it may fall down, vetisparek, and it may fall into pieces. Veyachzireno, and the yid over here will say, oy vey, I've got no Shabbos candles, and he's gonna put it all together. For him, so it's a kli, he's going to make, lo and behold, he's going to end up making a kli on Shabbos, which is the reisa, good and proper. Of course, for good reason, to have Shabbos candles. But ultimately, it's only the reisa. V'afili meino shel prokim, now even if it is not actually made out of numerous parts, but elo yesh lo b'chritzim soviv, for doime shel prokim, even if it's not actually made out of numerous parts, but there is over there, charitzim, there is indentations. So it would appear that it is made out of a few parts. It's actually one unit, but it appears that it's various parts to it. Nevertheless, don't use it. Don't carry it around. Also, the Talmud, it's actually mukta. So Rabbi said, we're learning over here. Interesting halacha. So this is gzeirat rabbanon. If cotton chafalim shnebu explain menorah. It's brand new, never been used. It's never been used. Nevertheless, you may not move it around. Why? Because we are concerned that it may fall apart. Punkt on Shabbos. Things always go wrong when it's really the worst timing. So don't move it at all. It becomes muktzah altogether. And because if it does fall apart, you're going to end up making a kli. And betaz and kamaltsim and tofkuf you test. However, if it is in dark olio is rough for shor, if it's always a bit loose, then you'll be sure it's permitted. Because we're not concerned that it's going to end up putting it together because it's intrinsically a loosened kind of menorah. So then we're not concerned. Now why is the other one also the one that appears to be out of numerous parts? Because people will think that it's made out of numerous parts. And since people think that it's made out of numerous parts, it's also osur, they're going to confuse. V'da, lefiyanu yisbavasi, if they're also letalte neirah shelonu, shekorin leichter, mishnebura paskins, that what we call the leichters nowadays, it's also. Av shlo hidliku b'moylam, if they've never been used, tarim asuim shel pokim, they're made out of numerous parts. Kmo shekosav simvav, meir b'neirah shelo yusim pokim. Shulchan says that our contemporary leichters, Shabbos candles, is also to use, also to move altogether, because they are made out of numerous parts. And therefore, this halacha applies over here. Now, it seems like the Shabbos candles in the early 1900s in Radin were not the same as we've got nowadays, I believe. Because I think that most, the silver Shabbos candles, are they made out of numerous, few parts or one part? Few parts? One part. I think so, right? Yeah, I know. Mine are also old, and I also want. But I think that it may have to do in different parts of the world, so affordable. Some people probably were a bit. I don't know if everybody was able to afford silver candles.
The brass ones were usually made out of parts.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
The old candelabras were not two candlesticks; they were like lots of coming out, like a chandelier. And they all slotted.
Right. Very good. Okay, so that's the answer. Yeah. So here's the answer. Some of them are indeed made out of few parts. Yeah.
What's the problem here? Why are you moving candles on Shabbos?
For space.
But how do you move on Shabbos? They're muktzah.
That's what we're learning.
They're muktzah last Issa.
So the truth is, you're referring to the fact that nowadays they may be muktzah for other reasons as well. So never mind everything else. This is a reason in its own way it should be also. There's a separate Issa d'Rabbanan. You're right, there may be other reasons as well.
And we're worried that the man will build it saying that it should have Shabbos candles, but it doesn't even, if it's out and
Have you ever heard of people driving to shul on Shabbos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Moshe, the point is that there's first of all, I'll answer the basic answer is that he may want not for Shabbos, to light Shabbos candles, he may just want it for light on Shabbos afternoon. For the first answer, okay? Is your question because he doesn't need Shabbos candles because Lukas Neir's Shabbos is on Friday night? Okay, so this is exactly that a person may anyway end up doing, although ultimately, right, he's not allowed to plan some. Chazal would consider person may anyway end up doing such a thing.
Hang on a second. So he's not going to listen to Chazal, and he's
going to... We find this in many places.
But he is going to listen to Chazal, but he's not going to move something like that
out of different places. Yeah. This is something we find in numerous places. I haven't got a full answer. It seems that a person have got selective mutism when it comes to Isure Torah. It's a selective, not mutism, selective, what's called selective? Selective here when it comes to halachas. I haven't got a full answer, but we find this in many places in Shas.
They might think the whole idea, concept of moving light is a load of nonsense. However, they can understand coating that you can't make it clean, and therefore this is why it's muksa.
Yeah, something on those lines, yeah. People are sometimes very selective of things they do understand, things they don't understand. So, yeah. Okay, Simon Reish Pei, very quickly, Simon Reish Pei tells us really the aloch, this is really the makor of something which we discussed in previously, but Mishnah Berurah actually spells that explicitly. Chasnas on Friday, Rabbi Yisai, let me just quickly go to Tashmish Mitten, Mitani, Tukin Shabbos, Lefichach, Onest, Amidchom, Habrim Elel Shabbos, Lelit Shabbos, Motelev Alchat Chile, Pesulev Shabbos, Embo Mishum Chavon, Mishum Mishum Tzah. What I want to point out of here is Mishnah Berurah, that points out that specifically there was a minik to bring, to have chasnas on Fridays, so that the Mishnah Berurah brings over here chasnas on Fridays, so that the first shabbos will be Friday night. This Mishnah Berurah brings over here, and Mishnah Berurah also mentions over here in Sefkot and Dalet that one should be very careful to ensure tranquility and peacefulness atmosphere on Friday. That when Shabbos comes in, everybody's happy and everybody's in a good mood. Mishnah Berurah brings that. It's halacha. So even if it wouldn't be common sense, you've got a Mishnah Berurah. That you should be in a good mood on Friday. Good. Rabbi says, Simon Reish Pei Aleph moves on to a different topic altogether, which is the halachas of tefillah on Shabbos. Let us see. Shulchan Aruch says, Shloicha Belecho Anachnu Moedim. The halachas of not to bow down when you say Ulecho Anachnu Moedim on Shabbos morning by davening. And Lishchois Bevelecho Levatcho Anachnu Moedim. When we say the words Belecho Levatcho Anachnu Moedim. Whilst it is true that we say the words v'lecho levatcho anachnu moedim, and we know that moedim in Shemona Esre, we tend to bow down. Nevertheless, when it comes to davening, when you say the words v'lecho levatcho anachnu moedim, that's not a good enough reason to bow down in the middle of davening, only when it comes to moedim in Shemona Esre. So because the reason is, we only bow down in specific places, the Chazal instructed us to do so. Says the Ramah, that's probably the easiest, I would say one of the easiest halachas to keep to in Hilchas Shabbos. I think it's probably the easiest halacha to, I find it not such a challenging halacha. We all tend to be quite machme on this one. On Shabbos the meaning is to sleep in a little bit longer. It's one of those chumas we can keep with, we can stick with, no? We're okay with that chumah, yeah? So here there is various shittas here as well. I think we're okay to keep to the... Very good, I want to speak about that. Yeah, very good. So the Shulchan Aruch said, the Ramos says, V'noyegin shebe Shabbos me'achin yoysa. The meaning is on Shabbos, me'achin yoysa lovo lebeza knes, as mebuchoel, you intend to daven later on Shabbos. Later than weekdays. Why? Mishum debet, a very interesting reason why. Mishum debet tomit shen mo'ysa choyel ne'ma v'oike, when it comes to the tomit, korban tomit, it's a common tomet on weekdays. It says tomet. It says baboika. Vesel Shabbos, and when it comes, it says boika morning. However, when it comes to common tomet of Shabbos, vesel Shabbos nema uveyoyim haShabbos. It's mash meichov. When it comes to Shabbos, it's uveyoyim haShabbos on the day, which implies that it's like in deep into the day already. All the other weekdays, common tomet says baboika in the morning, but it doesn't say morning when it comes to the carbon on Shabbos. It doesn't say morning. It says uveyoyim in day proper. What time is day proper? 11. So fine. So here's the mekoy. Chasu, nobody sleeps in on Shabbos for any other reason than to halacha psuka that one should daven a little bit later on Shabbos. That's what it says mefurash halacha. Now I want to point out an interesting conversation. But we need to see Mishnebura first, because that's your point, and I'm gonna share with you an interesting conversation in Mishnah. Ma'achin, mikol makom tzichel, bottom line in Mishnebura. Ma'achin, mikol makom tzichel, nizor shaloi lavo izman kiyashma. He said, that's all very nice. Yes, you are allowed to get up late on Shabbos, you're meant to get up late on Shabbos. However, do keep in mind that there's a mitzvah, the rise of kiyashma, and you mustn't delay that, you mustn't miss it. Uverashi mashmigam, b'shabbos mitzvah lamad, there is an opinion of Rashi that holds that Shabbos also you have to daven early. Likroi kiyashma b'vasikin. So there's an opinion of Rashi that even on Shabbos you have to daven with vasikin. But the Ramah disagrees, and the Ramah is machir that you could daven later. But again, never later than Shabbos man kiyashma. Now I want to point out a very interesting. It's interesting. So you're right that in Eretz Yisrael many yeshivishim in your name, the well-established minhag of the yeshivish places in Eretz Yisrael. You go to all the minyanim, Shachanicha yeshivas, Bnei yeshivas, in Yerushalayim, in Bnei Brak, in Kiyasif. They all daven in line with in order to have Sofs Man Kiyashma, not just Stam Kiyashma, but often according to the early Zman as well of the early Zman of Morgan Avom as well. So they don't necessarily daven particularly early. I wanted to share with you a conversation which I overheard that Reb Tovia Weiss, who is now the current Rav of Yerushalayim of the Badatz, yeah, of the Eid HaChredis. So he was appointed not such a long time ago. I think he was appointed about in 2002. Something like that. I remember when he was appointed. We lived there and still in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, we lived in Eretz Yisrael then. And he was appointed. I remember that they then organized the minyan when Reb Tovia Weiss came from Antwerp. He was Rav of Besmetrish in Antwerp. It was about 2002, no? It was about 2002, 2002, 2003, something like that. And then he moved then, when he was appointed, Gaon Av Beis Din of Yerushalayim, Reb Tovia Weiss, he then moved from Antwerp, and he went to Yerushalayim. As he got to Yerushalayim, he initially moved in Nechzitzchok area, and they opened up a Beis Medrash for him. And then afterwards he moved to Givas Moshe. And when he opened a Beis Medrash for him, so he was obviously the Rav, and he was making all the takanos and the zmanim. I remember I had a friend of mine who was like the gabba there. He was like arranging for the newly brought in Rav, this very, very important position of Gaon Av Beis Din of Yerushalayim. He appointed him to be, he was like the gabba arranging like the minyonim and the tefillahs in this newly established Beis Medrash. There, I remember that he told me that they asked him about his Zman Tefillah on Shabbos morning. And they discussed with Reb Tovia and then Reb Tovia said, so they said that Sofs Man Kiyashma is quite early to accommodate Sofs Man Kiyashma to make the davening a bit earlier. And Reb Tovia then said that the minhag, the well-established minhag, is to daven a bit later on Shabbos. And I don't remember the maskona, but I think the maskona was also that. But certainly a very, very strong tzad of Reb Tovia was that if Klal Yisrael daven later on Shabbos, that was the established minhag throughout all the tefutzos he saw. That was the well-established minhag anywhere. And he said you need a very, very, very strong reason. He said that people used to wake up a bit later on Shabbos. And he says that, say kiyashma long before, before the Sof Zman. That's why in the Sidurim we have, that at the beginning of davening, before Pesukim Dezemo, we say Shema. They were Yoytze kiyashma then. And they said, obviously, the whole Shema then, and to be Yoytze kiyashma. And that was the minute to daven a little bit later on Shabbos, to be relaxed, and to be Shvadas, and to daven a little bit later. Of course, the Yidin got up early and learned, and Yidin got up early and said Tehillim, and Yidin got up early and learned with their children. But so to daven later, that was a well-established minute. He wasn't prepared to daven earlier. In line with Tosman Kishmas. That's the minhag. And I think he also said that who is going to take a chayas if somebody is an interesting svara, of a godel, sometimes a bit different. The Tovia then said that also, if you daven earlier, who's going to take a chayas? Who's going to take a chayas if people, if there's any, people have a very, very long day, not everybody utilizes the day in the particularly best way. Not everybody utilizes a long day like this. If you finish davening by 9 o'clock, you've got a very, very long day. Nobody utilizes the day in the best way. If you sleep long on Shabbos morning, that's. That's a Ramah, that's Oisgal, and that's okay. But to have a long, the whole day, what do you know? You're going to waste your time, you're going to speak Lashon Horos, you're going to sleep like hours on Shabbos. It's also not appropriate on Shabbos day. So he said, the minhag is to sleep a bit longer like this, and the Seder Yom makes sense. So I'm just sharing with you, Hinab Tovi was Misyaches to a minhag Yisrael. So that's in line with the Ramah. But yes, one should obviously take into consideration Sabbath Man Kiryas Shema and ensure that Cholila V'chas not to miss Sabbath Man Kiryas Shema. Okay, the Ramah says, the Ramah continues, V'nagin L'harbos B'Zmiro Shel Shabbos. The meaning is also to increase Zmiro Shel Shabbos. This is not referring to, over here, to the Zmiros by the Shabbos Suda. It's not referring to that. But what does Zmiro Shel Shabbos mean? Davening, that's right. Psukah de Zimra by davening. Psukah de Zimra. For Nagi Laharbois Bizmira Shel Shabbos, we say Muzmiras on Shabbos. Psukah de Zimra is long on Shabbos. Whether you have Nusach Sfad, who increase significantly, or you have Nusach Ashkenaz, who also have more, definitely more Psukah de Zimra. Kol Mokim Lifi Minhag, every place according to its own Minik, according to its own Nusach, according to its own Minik. Huvichol Davarim Loyomren Machzirin Oisoy, however, if you fail to say Psukah de Zimra, you just by mistake had a, I don't know, you just didn't say the Psukah de Zimra of Shabbos for some reason or another. Loy Omur Ey Machzirin Oisoy, you don't have to go back. So if you forgot to say, if you forgot to say one of the that we add, and machzirin you don't go back. Milvah, the only exception being im loy oma lokel asher shavas. If you say the lokel asher shavas, which is when do we say lokel asher shavas? No, before Shema. It's from the Beik Shema. Before Beik Shema, then it's different. Machzirin oisoy, that you have to say machzirin oisoy. We'll see what the Mishnah Berurah says what machzirin oisoy means. Veish le'arech, you have to extend v'le'anim bezmirois. You should say it properly. Say geshmak, don't rush it. Enjoy them. Think about them. Leharich v'lehanim azmiros. Make it betamt. Ve'limchois be'marich bohem. Don't protest on the ones who take a little bit longer to say them. Don't make a fuss about it. Afal pisha moichem mechavim mishum bittel teure. Ve'limchois be'marich bohem. Afal pisha moichem mechavim bittel teure. Even if you can't take the extended davening because you're really genuinely care of a bit of Torah, the additional 5-10 minutes is going to disturb you, learn. It's going to make you learn less, even if it's going to cause you bit of Torah. The reason why you're moicher, you're protesting bit of Torah, nevertheless, ein limchois b'marich, don't protest, don't worry about it, it's Shabbos, relax. Mikol mokim b'Shabbos v'yom tov lo yarech yoyse midai, but don't overdo it. Kedei sheyech al kodim shoshesh, in order that you should be able to finish the davening before, you should be able to finish davening, that you should start eating before shoshesh. So this is obviously very vague, and it's very relative, right? What does it mean to extend too much and to have it very long? Everything is very relative, but that I suppose one needs to leave the rabbonim to decide what is acceptable and unacceptable times. Now the Mishnah Berurah does point out, and that's really important, that the chazanim have to do it according to halacha as well. And also Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkot Hei that one should be really careful about not missing Kiryas Shema. So if you've got a particularly exciting chazan who has come and he really davens very beautifully, however, make sure that he doesn't miss Kiryas Shema because of that. Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkot Talet that chazanim who swallow the words and don't say the words properly, that is a big avla. If chazanim are not careful with chituch ha'oisius and they don't say the words properly, that is something one should protest. But if an additional 5 minutes, Mishnah Berurah, the Ramah says, don't worry about it. Relax, doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Correct. It's not specifically that, yeah.
See, a lot of people with Gemaras and Kamashim open the various different perishim during the meal.
Yes, I'll tell you
that. Well, just stump. Not for Kedusha, but generally.
Chazos
Ajat. Yeah, if things are taking a long time, I mean, people, what's...
During Chazos Ajat, Mishnah Berurah says one shouldn't learn.
You're not allowed to, it's
yeah.
A special time
problem. Yeah, Mishnah not allowed to learn during Chazos Ajat. But it is true that there is an argument, and that's probably more shul kind of conversation, that some people say that if it is taking too long, then you're inevitably causing that. There's no justification for it, but inevitably causing that, and that would be reasoning to to have the davening a bit more swift. But that's not for now. The Maisa, Rabbi said, we learned tonight the following halachas. We spoke about if Muktzemach Masmius, which is Mutal Etaltel. We spoke about the menorah, which is either big or small, if it's made out of numerous pieces. We're concerned it might fall apart and you're going to end up fixing it, and therefore you're going to end up doing a kli, and that becomes therefore mukta. We spoke about Tashmish Amit B'Shabbos, which is a tanuk. We spoke about Chasnus on Friday, what the minik Mishneh Berurah said that was a minik. We spoke about, do you remember, I'm quoted once, we saw Gantz, that he said that was the minik until Americans came from Chutz Laaretz. Yeah, and we mentioned that. He said, nowadays it's the wrong thing to do. Don't make chasnas on Friday, even if you're saving yourself a few pounds. In Reish Pei Aleph, we learned that one shouldn't bow down only in the specific place which Chachamim established. The words, is not one of those, don't bow down there. We learned about davening late on Shabbos morning, because it says, Baboika, 6 days of the week, and it says, Uvayim HaShabbos on Shabbos. We spoke about saying more Pesukei Dezim on Shabbos, but they're not active besides the Kelah Shavas. The Kelah Shavas, one should, if one miss saying the Kelah Shavas, one should say it afterwards, not Peshas Meiser. Then we spoke about that davening could take a little bit longer. Don't be moicha even because of Bittel Torah. Good evening, Abbosai.